And so I want to start off a series. It says, because he came. Now, anyway, think about this. We have God, the creator of all the universe. That in here, this world is one little small speck in the whole scope of things. And that God himself came down to his creation is an amazing thing. That he humbled himself to be in the form of man. To come and, I always like to say it, he came to play by the rules. Now when Jesus came to here on earth, he could have come and picked the wealthiest families, the best palaces, but he chose to be born in a manger. He could have came into a family of renowned people, but he came to his poor couple, Mary and Joseph. And there's a purpose and a reason why he did all of that. To connect with us. And so in here, this morning I wanted, because he came, Jesus knows. And I came through a list of items that because he came, that Jesus knows. That he came in the form of man. He came to be like you and I. Now, have you ever talked to someone who just doesn't understand? You know, they've never been in your shoes. Right? We were in a position where we were talking to a couple, and they came from pretty wealthy backgrounds. That both sides of the family, we were in Bible school, and for many of us there, we struggled. You know, we went to school, had jobs, we were trying to make this all ends meet. And there's this one couple, like I said, they didn't have to worry about anything. Their families were buying them money, they were buying them clothes and food and anything they needed. You know, their car broke down, that mom and dad, either side of the family, would fix it all up. So in here, they didn't really have a lot of problems. And so we would sit down and we'd kind of wallow in our misery sometimes. Because we're always having problems, issues, and all that. And so they were kind of speaking up and said, oh yeah, how rough it is. And we all kind of looked at each other like, you guys just don't understand what it's like. Right? And in here, you turn around and you look at circumstances. And maybe you've suffered loss. And you talk to someone who hasn't. And sometimes they'll turn around and say, well, you know, I know how you feel. Well, you know what? They don't. And even if you suffer loss, your loss is different from mine. Right? In our lives, to have someone who knows, and God, the creator of all things, as we know God knows. You know, God knows all things, but it's something different to experience it. It's interesting. I've worked in jobs, and you had the guy who just came off of training, or maybe just came out of college, and he's the new guy. He's got all the head knowledge, right? He was told all the facts. He was told how this all lines up. And then all of a sudden, you got to do it. It's amazing how that changes your attitude, doesn't it? You know, not just in the workplace, but kids. The smartest I ever was about raising kids was before I had kids. Right? I look at other families and say, how come they let their kid crawl over the table? Or how come they're doing this? And how come they're doing that? And then all of a sudden, you have one. And your whole demeanor changes, right? Your whole thought process changes. Because all of a sudden now you know what it's like. When God becomes man, it allows him to associate and knows about us. And can you give me a glass of water? You don't mind me to slobber all over your... You're not going to want it back, are you? I don't know. Oh, thank you. All right, you want it? All right. Yeah, my wife doesn't like my germs. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We're in the book of Hebrews over in Sunday school a little bit. But anyway, the premise of Hebrews is that Jesus is better than. He's better than the angels. He's better than the Old Testament sacrifices. He's better than the Old Testament priests. He's better than all these things. And because of this, he comes out that, look, as Christ came here on earth, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That when we come to Christ, when we come to Him, we're not talking to someone who does not understand. We're not talking to someone who doesn't care. Because He's walked in our shoes. And because of this, the passage goes on that we can boldly before His throne of grace. He tells us to come. And He's got a sympathetic ear. He lends His ear to us. And He lends His compassion to us as someone who knows and who understands. So this morning I have a list of things. Now this is no particular order. These are just things that came to my mind as I was pondering and contemplating these things. But Jesus, because He's man, because of coming into that manger, that Christmas so long ago, what are some things He understands? And the passage here talks about the temptation. Have you been tempted? Are there things that are in your life that tug you, that draw you away? Think of the old hymn. It says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love." Right? That tugging we have in our lives. And sometimes we get so frustrated because of that. Let me tell you, being tempted is not sin. Yielding to that temptation is. In Mark chapter 1, we talk about the Lord, and it says He was in the desert for 40 days being tempted by Satan. Then here we're told that He was without food, without water for 40 days and 40 nights. And I love the passage turns around and says, and He was hungered, right? I love how at the end of that, oh yeah, by the way, after not eating for 40 days, Jesus, I tell you, He was hungry. Right? I know, I go one meal and I'm famished. But suffering that for 40 days and 40 nights and turn around and then Satan attacked him full board. And the temptation was, you know, turn the stones into bread, was to cast yourself from the temple, was to bow down before Satan. All these things were a temptation to find a shortcut to what God was doing. You ever try to find a shortcut? I like shortcuts. I years ago, we turned around and I was young and foolish. Now I'm just old and foolish, but I was young and foolish, and that's a dangerous combination. And I was one of these guys that always would like a shortcut. Right? If I'm driving from here to there, I wanted the shortest way. Anyone else like that? Oh, I'm the only one. All right. So you're going to think I'm nuts. I don't enjoy the ride. My wife will say, "Hey, let's go for a ride." I say, "Where do you want to go?" And she'll name a place and we'll drive there and drive right back. I find the shortest way back and forth. And she says, "You missed the whole point." Right? So we were in school and it was middle of winter. And I knew there had to be a shortcut. You know, the main road went all the way back around and one of those crazy things. I said, "There's got to be a shortcut." And so in here I said, "You know, I'm going to take this road." So I headed onto this road. And as we're heading down this road, it got a little more narrow, The snowbanks got a little higher, And we were probably about 3 miles into this. And all of a sudden, there's a road that says seasonal highway. Right after that road, the hill went like this. And I put on the brakes, we slid. Couldn't back up because the hill was so steep. It hadn't been plowed for a while. It was all ice. And so I did the only thing that a rational man would do. I got out in front of the car and told my wife to let go of the brake. And didn't have to set up the gas, it just slid. The minute she let go of the brakes, we slid. So I was in front of the car trying to push the car back as we were heading down the hill. My shortcut, while true on the map, cut off about 10 miles off the trip. Took us, I don't know how long it took us, a lot of stress, Because my wife was like, I don't want to run you over. I'm like, well, we just got to do this. So let go. And we inched the car down inch by inch. Ever since then, I'm like, hey, hon, let's go out. You know, I think I know a shortcut. She's like, no. No shortcuts. Right? When we try to help God out, when we get tempted away to go away from God's will in our lives, we get ourselves in trouble. Satan knows what it's like. What you are like. It wants to tug at you and pull you aside. Christ knows. And the temptation that you have is different from the temptations that I have. Your weaknesses are different than mine. That's why we can't get all judgy. You know, it's easy to look down my nose at you and say, oh, well, you got a problem in this area in your life. Right? I don't have an area. I don't have a problem. You have that problem. I'm better than you. Well, you could turn around and point at me and say, well, what's wrong with you? Right? We all have our struggles. We all have our temptations in life. And often, especially as Christians, we don't want to share these struggles with people because what are they going to think about me? Right? What if I have a problem with a certain sin in my life? Boys, what's going to happen? You know, if I tell you, you're going to judge me. You're going to look down on me. And so I carry this weight alone. And Satan uses that to his advantage all day long. But we can come boldly before His throne of grace because Christ came in the form of man and He was tempted all points like us. And yet He didn't sin. He didn't give in to that. And in there He encourages us because He knows how isolating that is. He knows how lonely... sometimes being a Christian can be very lonely if you don't have someone that you could be honest with. Right? I mean, I grew up in churches where you kind of had to play the game. You put on the face and everyone thought everything was wonderful and great. And you come to church and you're heartbroken and you're torn up. You're exhausted from the struggle. And then you go home just as empty because it wasn't real. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what it's like to be poor. In here, His disciples came to Him and said, hey, we want to follow You. And Jesus' answer was, look, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. At one time, when they were turning around, it was time for to take the taxes up. And Jesus didn't have the money to pay taxes. And He told the disciples, go out and cast a line. And they found a coin in the mouth of the fish to pay His taxes. Jesus knows what it's like not to have much. Especially in our society, we put so much emphasis on what you have, what you drive, where you live. We're a society that promotes stuffism. Right? I mentioned this yesterday. We tend to have more stuff than we can fit in our own homes, right? We rent places to stuff more of our stuff into. And yet we struggle. Jesus knows what it's like not to have. Jesus' ministry was often funded by others to help Him along. Jesus knows that struggle. Especially this time of year, we feel that pressed because, you know, Christmas has turned into such a commercialism. Latest toy, latest gadget. I think I told you guys this last year. We were going down through and Lauren had some money. And we were walking through Walmart looking at the toy section. And she only had a certain amount to spend. And she came up to me and she goes, Dad, can I get this? And I said, well, how much is it? And we were going down the aisle and finally she came to me and goes, Dad, is this an ouch toy? I was like, an ouch toy? What do you mean an ouch toy? Right? And she goes, yeah, is this an ouch toy? I said, I don't know what that means. She goes, Dad, every time you look at one of the toys and you ask about the price, you say, ouch. I was like, yeah, that's an ouch toy. Right? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh. You know, when I was a kid, we played with rocks and sticks. You know? And now it's specialized and costs $50, right? I mean, but there's such a pressure to give and tie it in so much with financial things. That in our need to know that God will take care of us. Jesus knows what it's like to be poor. Jesus knows what it's like to be frustrated. You ever frustrated? I'm asking for a show of hands. Right? We won't get all judgy. But in here, we turn around and talk about the frustration. Jesus, well, he's going to the temple. This is what John's talking about. He comes into the temple, and here this is supposed to be God's house. This is supposed to be where people come and turn off the world for a while and focus upon God. And yet he comes in and this is what he says. He scared the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He said, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? But Jesus was frustrated. Oftentimes he found his disciples and he was teaching them some great spiritual truths and they just don't get it. You ever done that? You ever gone to explain someone to something? We're going to take it nice and slow. Step one. Step two. All right, we got this. Step three. Step four. Do you understand? Step one. Right? You ever get frustrated with someone? And sometimes your patience just runs out. You know, maybe it's friends. Maybe it's relatives. That frustration that builds up of, won't they get it? Jesus knows what it's like. As I dare say, he often gets frustrated with me. How about this one? You ever get tired? And I'm not just talking about, you know, I stayed up late last night, too late, binge watching my latest show, right? If you're on Netflix or Yahoo or all these other things, you turn around. I think one of the horrible things is you can watch like a whole season like in one night if you don't sleep and have a couple cups of coffee. Right, you can stay up all night, watch your favorite show, and they always end with the cliffhanger. So you gotta watch the next one, and then you gotta watch the next one. And I won't confess that I've done this, but if I did, usually the next morning, my wife gives me no mercy because it's like you know, you're a big boy now. You know, I'm not talking about just that kind of tired. That in our lives sometimes we struggle with the idea of exhaustion, that we're just too extended. Maybe it's through stress in our lives that pile up on us. And we just get weary. Maybe it's the responsibility that we feel, the burden that we've been carrying for so long, that just weighs us down. You ever been there? Maybe it's health. That maybe you've been struggling physically for so long. Jesus says, come to me because I know what it's like. Jesus was walking and he came up and said, Jesus was tired as he was from his journey and sat down at the well, John 14. And God uses this as an opportunity for him to minister to the woman at the well. But Jesus was traveling and he just got tuckered out and he had to sit down for a while. Right? Years ago, I heard a pastor give a sermon, and he asked us, he goes, I want you to be a sponge, which I thought was an interesting thing. And his illustration was, he was trying to gear up and trying to get more volunteers. And so he brought up a sponge, and he came up and said, God wants you to be a sponge, and he squeezed the sponge. He goes, you know, you have a sponge when you do dishes? and it's soapy, right? You wring everything out, and if you squeeze it a little harder, a little bit more soap will come out. If you squeeze it a little bit harder, a little bit more soap came out. He goes, God wants to squeeze you until every little ounce of soap bubbles come out. So volunteer. That's not what God wants. It's not God's desire that we are so overburdened that we're wrung out time and time again, right? And it's hard because when you ever talk to someone about being tired, have you ever done that? He says, oh man, you know what? I'm just burnt out. I'm just burnt out. And you know what they do? They turn around and say, you know what? I'm tired too. All right, there goes, right? People don't acknowledge that. Years ago, in my last church, we were, 7 years into it. And I sat down with my deacons and I said, I was just fried. I was at the end. I was emotionally, I'd never been that way before. I'd gotten to a point where I was just kind of an emotional wreck. Because I was just fried. And I sat down with a group of men and I said, look, I'm just... You know, I just need a couple weeks off. So I got a couple weeks off. And I came back and they said, how are you doing? Because I tend to probably take on more than I should. And at the end of that, you know, I had a couple weeks off. And I came back and talked to the guys. And how are you doing? I'm like, oh, okay. And then here's all the stuff that, right? You know, basically just pick up where you left off. And I was like, ugh. All right. Jesus knows what it's like. Jesus in his ministry actually a couple times was going up and was so busy that the disciples were concerned over him. His family came unto him and said, hey, pull back. Pull back. And we turn around and Jesus at one point was so exhausted that he got into a boat and he was traveling over. He fell asleep in the middle of a storm. That's pretty hardcore. We drove up to New Hampshire. My wife was driving. And I wasn't feeling too good. But when my wife drives, I can't sleep. Love you, hon. Thanks for the water. Right? But Jesus was just going and serving. I find it interesting because in Jesus' ministry, so many times, the crowd just wanted more, wanted more, wanted more. Maybe you feel like that in your life. You know, maybe you're just kind of burned out and you're just exhausted and you've just been going and people just want just a little bit more, right? I'll never preach the sponge. God's desire is to wring every little bit out of you. That's what people want. People want to just, you know what, I know you're tired, but I just need you to do one more thing for me, right? But Jesus knows. Jesus knows. That we can come to Him and say, you know what, God, I'm just wired. Well, my first favorite verse is it talks about God and He knows my frame. He knows my frame. That the burden in our lives that are too overwhelming and are not from God. God knows what I can handle. And He gives me what I should do. The problem is sometimes all the expectations of all the people around us, right? Or maybe it's expectations we put on ourselves. And maybe you're that way and you need to unload on someone. Jesus knows. He knows what it's like to be tired. I got one more I'll go through. Actually, I got a list. We'll pick this up next week. I think this is good to know. Have you ever been disappointed? And I'm not talking about, I wanted something. I'm trying to think what I want for Christmas. You know, I want a new car for Christmas and I got a pair of socks. I never understood that. I never understood. Socks are not a Christmas gift. All right? You know, that's right up in socks and underwear. No, those are, that's not a Christmas gift, right? But, you know, you had your expectation on something, and you get something else. We get disappointed. Maybe you've prayed, and God didn't answer your prayer like you thought. Right? You ever been disappointed? Or maybe you thought something about someone and they let you down. Right? Maybe you feel like Charlie Brown. You know that scene where Lucy comes up with the football? Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? I just want to say, okay. Because when you start to get to my age, and sometimes my illustrations are a little dated. But you know the scene. Charlie Brown so wants to kick the football. And Lucy brings it out. In the past, Charlie Brown's always run for the football, goes to kick the football. At the last minute, Lucy does what? Takes it away. Charlie Brown does this wonderful flip and lands on his back. But he so desperately wants to kick it that he falls for it time and time again. Lucy reassures him it's different this time. And time again, she pulls the ball away. You ever felt that way? You ever been disappointed? In one of the most touching scenes we have in Scripture, Jesus is riding out and he comes over Jerusalem. And he looks over the city. Now, being God, he has worked with Israel and he had tried to draw them to himself, that he is the Messiah who's coming to save them, not just from Rome, but from their sins. The Bible says he came unto his own, but his own what? Received him not. And this is the cry of Jesus over the city. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who slew the prophets, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks." Right? How many times does he want to give Israel another chance, another chance? People cried out, "This time we'll be different. This time we'll serve you. This time we'll love you." And time again, they turn away. Jesus knew disappointments. Sometimes that disappointment can turn to hurt and turn to pain. Especially with someone who's close to us. On that night when they took Jesus away, it was one of his very own that betrayed him, who came up and with a kiss stabbed him in the back. You ever been that way? You ever had anyone who was so close to you turn on you? Jesus knows. And because of this, because of these facts, he tells us to come boldly before his throne of grace. Think about this. The God of the universe came down to experience all these things so that he can know us, so he can relate to us. Tells me he can call us his friends. Folks, don't draw away from God. Don't think that He is so far removed. If anyone understands, it's Him. And all because He came to earth. All because He came as a babe. That we can have a relationship. You know, it's often said that, you know, this isn't a religion, this is a relationship. That is so true. And look at the extent in which He came to touch our lives. Let us come boldly before His throne of grace. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. Lord, often things in my life, Lord, I want to escape from. I don't want the hurt. I want the disappointment, Lord. I don't want these things in my life. And yet You willingly came to experience these things, Lord, that You may be closer to us than ever before. Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning. You're drawing them, Lord. You say You understand, and You ask them to come. Lord, I pray today they'll surrender. But sometimes it's our pride. Lord, maybe it's that we don't think You care. Lord, all You care. Lord, help us drop our guards and draw near to You. To cast our cares at Your feet. Because, Lord, You care for us.